Thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. Father, we humble ourselves this morning. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal yourself this morning. No weapon formed against this word will prosper in the name of Jesus. We pray that our hearts would be like that soil that is rich, that is fertile, that can receive the seed of the word and the seed to produce forth much fruit. So this morning we submit ourselves to the authority of your word. And Holy Spirit of God, give us the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, so that we can receive from the Father. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Great. Let's get into the word. There's an illusion in the lives of so many people that points to the view that says, if you want to be successful, get more. The illusion says a successful man has more of everything. If you want to be successful, get more of finances. Get more of, I don't know, work. There are some of us who are doing more than two jobs. Get more of friends in your life. There are so many people who are getting more of everything. More of everything. I read an article, somebody's about to marry their seventh wife. More of wives. More of everything. I don't know what you're getting more of. I don't know what is pushing you to get more and more stuff. Now, the problem with that view is that we can never get enough of things in our lives. When you are driven by the mentality that says success in my life is driven by how many houses I own, you'd realize that you get the next house, that satisfaction is not met, you want to get more. So you get fixated by what you don't have, and you ignore what you have already. So many times, we are worried about what is out there that has not walked through our door, and because of that, We develop all sorts of things in our hearts because I haven't bought the latest vehicle, the latest model. My car is so old. I want a newer vehicle. So if you are driven by this agenda of having more and more and more, you're bound to live a life that is not satisfying. Because you can never get enough of stuff. You can never get enough of wealth. Whenever you get enough, or it feels like enough, you look around, you realize there's actually more that I can get. I don't know what has been your attitude around this aspect of your life. But this morning, I want to introduce you to a different way of achieving success. A different way of achieving success. And this is what I call the law of stretching. The law of stretching. And in the coming 8 weeks, we're going to deal with this series entitled Stretch Your Limits. Stretch Your Limits. Come on now, speak to your neighbor and say, stretch your limits. Stretch your limits. I don't know what are your limitations this morning. And one of the things that I've realized in life is that what we call limits are really perceived. Some of them are not real. It's just a perception that we have with regards to what God has given us. When you start looking at this issue of stretching your limits, you realize that God has given you everything that you need for you to make it in life. I want you to know that the law of stretching explains the phenomenon of why certain people seem to make it with little. And why certain people seem to squander every opportunity that comes their way. Have you ever realized that there are some people who appear to have 28 hours in a day because of the amount of stuff that they get done over the time that God has given them? It also explains why some people seem to have only 4 hours in a day because they never get to do something productive with the time that God has given them. Stretching your limits. By definition, the term stretch speaks about drawing out or extending something to its full length by applying some force. That is what the term stretch means. It's when you stretch yourself by applying some force to whatever you have. And I've come to realize that whenever I apply attention to what God has given me, I actually realize that I have enough. There's somebody hear me this morning. When you start paying attention to your thinking, where you do not waste your time thinking upon issues that are not building, you start stretching your imagination, you realize that there is so much that you can do. So many times, we are looking for people to come and drag us along, but God is calling the church, God is calling you to a place where you say, I'm not going to wait for somebody to push me to do what I know I should be doing. So many times we know that we should be reading the word, but we don't apply ourselves to reading of the word. So when you stretch what God has given you, you'll be amazed by what you can achieve. You'll be amazed by how much the rent can go, how much what you have there can go, what it can achieve. You know, if you think about it, if you live a life where you're saving 1,000 rand every month, it's 1,000 rand that you're saving. At the end of the year, you'd realize that you'd be having over 12,000 rand because there would have been a bit of a compounding interest. Some people will tell you, I'm not a millionaire. But if you think about the amount of thousands that have gone through your hands over your working life, you'd realize that most of us are millionaires. It's just that we don't look at it that way. We look at what we have right now and you say, I'm so poor. But if you start considering from the time you started earning something, some of you, you realize that you're actually very, very rich. You see, when you stretch, you expand what you have. You push your perceived limits. And out of pushing your perceived limits, you step into your potential. And I've come to realize that something that is stretched is able to accommodate more. It's able to function more. Think about the balloon. If you buy your child a balloon for their birthday party, as long as that balloon is not stretched, there's no air in that balloon, your child is not going to enjoy it. They'll look at it and they'll throw it back to you and say, Mommy, what is it that you've gotten me? Think about the tires of your vehicle. If there's nothing and there's no pressure in those tires, you're not able to drive that vehicle properly. It's when you have put pressure into your tire that you're able to enjoy what the tire was meant to do. So many times, we don't see the potential that we carry because we don't apply pressure on the resources that God has given us. And in this season, the Lord is saying, stop looking outside. Many believers are busy looking over their shoulder, looking at what their neighbors are doing, looking at what is going on across the street. But the Lord is saying that is not where your victory is coming from. Your victory comes from stretching that which I have given you. Come on, I say stretch this morning. Stretch. So God is calling you to stretch your heart, some of you. When you stretch your heart, you come to a place of accommodating people that you would not accommodate in a normal situation. When you stretch your loving capacity, you'll be able to overlook certain things and you say, you know what, for the sake of peace, I will move over. I'll go over this issue. I will not allow this issue to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. When you stretch your love, you're able to forgive those who are not forgivable. Because there are certain people who have done certain things for us, and we say, I cannot forgive this. I cannot let this go until a price has been paid. And I want you to know that as long as we are alive, the potential that we carry is immeasurable. The potential that your child carries is immeasurable. So many times we look at our children and we say they're still too young. We cannot teach them deep things of God. You see, a child might be young outside, but their spirit man is not young if they are born again. Their spirit man is not 2 years old, is not 5 years old. You would be surprised by the magnitude of the size of the spiritual being inside your child. When you start teaching them the word, I see this with my own children. When I sit down and I listen to my little girl who's 8 years old, how much she has understood or she's getting to get into the word. There's a time where I would sit on our bed, on their bed, and say, which story in the Bible do you guys don't know? Because they're now saying, Daddy, read us a different story that we don't know in the Bible. And then I would go through and say, do you know the story of Daniel? Like, oh, we know the story of Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. Do you know the story of Esther? Oh, and then Benny said, oh yeah, the queen, the one. She starts telling me these stories. And I'm amazed by how much she has taken in the word. So do not underestimate the size of the spirit in your child. And do not underestimate your own capacity as a child of God to go deeper into the things of God. And we are saying stretch your perceived limits. Now listen to this. The greatest enemy to living out your potential, it is the fear of the discomfort that comes with stretching. Whenever you stretch, it takes some energy, it takes some discomfort, because you're taking yourself out of the norm. You're taking yourself out of what you're used to doing. And you feel like the Lord is pushing me out of what I'm used to doing. The Lord is now calling you to fast once a week. And you say, but how can I do that? I work a busy schedule. How can I do that? But this morning I want you to know, if you run away from the pain that is associated with stretching, you will never amount to what God has called you to be. The Lord is calling you to stretch your perceived limits. The amount of reading of the word that goes on in our lives, the Lord is saying, let's not do it just as a pep thing that we do by the side. Let's have a program that says, I'm going to read so many verses in a day. Stretch your limits. The more you read the word of God, the more you can get revelation. The more you can understand the heart of God for you. The more your faith can grow. In the absence of your stretching, your capacity of the word, your faith will remain small. I'm saying let us stretch those perceived capacities. Now for you to stretch, you need to ask yourself this question. What can I do with what I have? Instead of saying, I need something further to be deposited in my life, you must ask yourself this question, what can I do with what I have? And this bypasses that paralyzing trap of saying, I don't have enough. When you say, I don't have enough cash, I cannot serve. But this morning, if you ask yourself and say, what can I do with what I have? You'd realize that what you have is the seed that God wants to use to multiply. Glory be to God. There are people who tell you, until I start earning so much, I will not be able to give. You see, the kingdom of God operates with an order. You see, for you to get, you must give away. When you understand that principle, when you understand that order of things in the kingdom of God, then your life will rightly stand in the presence of God and you'll experience the outflow of the goodness of God. The world says, hold first before you give. But God says, give first, then you receive. There's a place in the book of Ecclesiastes that says, cast your bread upon the waters and after many days you'll be able to retrieve it. That does not make sense. When you cast bread upon the waters, naturally speaking, you will lose the bread. But the Bible is telling us, cast the bread upon the waters. Give out whatever you have. Stretch that rand that you have. And you'll be amazed by what God will pull back into your bosom. Glory be to God. You see, when you stretch your giving, it creates space for God to deposit. Because there is room now. And God is saying, there is space there. I'm going to fill it up with my goodness. Let's go to Isaiah 54, verse 1. It's a season of stretching our limits. It's a season of not ignoring what God has given you. It's a season of stop comparing yourself with others and saying, what is it that God has given me? What is it that God has given me? Isaiah 54 verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Glory be to God. This is the story. It's a prophetic word that Isaiah was giving concerning the church. He was talking about the church in the Old Testament. He was talking about the Jewish group of people who were the only ones who were acceptable before God. But at a certain point, it appeared like God had desolated them. It appeared like God had forsaken them. They went into captivity and they were in a confined place. Maybe that is where you are right now. Where you feel like God has desolated me. God has forsaken me. Stuff is not happening in my life. It looks like whenever I try to enter a door, that door seems shut in front of me. Now Isaiah says, sing, O you barren woman, the one who has not labored of a child, the one who has not given birth, for the Lord is about to do something so mighty in your life. So Isaiah was saying, there's coming a time where this woman who seems to have been barren for a long time will start bearing many children. He was talking about the church in the New Testament. He was saying, there's coming a time where the church will no longer just be this small Jewish nation, but the church will grow so much because even the Gentiles will come into the kingdom of God, because many shall be her children, the one who had not born children. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to understand something. When God is about to multiply stuff in your life, when God is about to grow you, He's saying, I want you to grow your capacity. That is where now Isaiah says, stretch your tents. Spare no expense. That is what other version says. Spare no expense. Stretch your tent. Why? Because the Lord is about to multiply your children. The Lord is about to grow you. The Lord is about to deposit much in your life. But He will not do that if there's no capacity. He will not do it if you have not expanded your belief system. If you do not start believing God for a mighty move of God over your family, it's not going to happen. Now He says here, enlarge the place of your dwelling. Child of God, enlarge your thinking capacity. Enlarge your imagination. When you go to Ephesians 3 verse 20, the Bible says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can think or even imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Now He says, Him who is able to do far above what you can imagine. What do you imagine your life becoming in the coming 5 years? What do you imagine your children to become in the coming 5 years? What do you imagine your workplace to be like in the coming 5 years? Those of you whom God has called into business, what do you imagine yourself being in the coming 5 years? Still working or running a business that is doing well down the road? Maybe because of the amount of failure that we have experienced, we have put a blockage on our imagination. We have put a blockage on our dreaming capacity. But God is saying, when you can dream with me, I can do what you cannot do. Hallelujah. When you can trust me for stuff that are beyond what you can do, then I can come and show myself strong on your behalf. Does somebody hear me this morning? In verse 3, for you shall expand to the right. I want to expand to the right. I want to expand to the left. Because that is a promise. But that promise is conditional. It is on the condition that you have stretched yourself. It's on condition that you are believing God for the impossible. It is on condition that you are dreaming bigger. It's on condition that you see yourself in a different space than where you are right now. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your children will inherit the nations. Your descendants shall inherit the nations. Now, this morning, I want you to realize something. That whenever God wants to do something, the limitation is not what God can do. The limitation is how much I can take on what God is about to do. Am I able to receive what God is depositing in my life? So, in order to make progress in your life, the container must match the provision. Do you hear me this morning? For me to make progress, for me to experience promotion in my life, I must have capacity big enough that matches the provision. The issue is not the source. The issue is the container. The bigger the container, the more the container can receive. Because where it's coming from, it's not limited. What limits the move of God in a church, it is the mindset that people have in the church. What limits the anointing of our lives is how we view ourselves. So many times we disqualify ourselves from ministering because of what has happened in our lives. I want you to know God wants to use you irregardless of what you have gone through in your life. Because if we come to a place where we say, now we qualify to be used by God, then the glory will no longer go to God. The glory will then come to us because we will say we qualified. We were right with God. That is why God used us. But this morning, I want you to know, God is saying, I don't wait for you to be right. I want you to come just as you are. We will make you right in the process of being used by God. Because He qualifies the called. He does not call those who are qualified. Paul speaks about that. He says, none of you had anything that was worthy of attention. None of you had drawn your names. But the Lord took that which was despised of this world to confound the wealth of this world. That is how God operates. So this morning I'm asking you, does your container fit the provision of God? Do you believe God so much for miracles in your life that you stop blaming stuff around you or you stop disqualifying yourself and say, I can't do this? This is the story of our lives, that our containers are failing to meet the provision of God. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. I love this story. 2 Kings 4 verse 1. I'm still on that point that says, in order to make progress in our lives, the container must match the provision. We must expand our capacity. We must believe God for greater things in our lives. We must say, Lord, I have seen you before, but I want to see more of you in my life. I have settled. I feel like my life has plateaued. But in this season, Lord, stir something fresh inside of me. 2 Kings 4 verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves. What a story. Here is a woman, the woman of God. The pastor has died. And she comes to the prophet and says, my husband is dead. But he left so much debt. He feared God, but he left so much debt. For me, it's a very difficult picture to see. We fear God, but stuff seems not to be happening in our lives. Why is that so? Could it be it's an issue of the capacity that we have? There is a place where the Lord Jesus went into a city. And the Bible says Jesus was not able to do as many miracles as anywhere else because that city had no faith. And here is a man of God who feared God, who was not able to make a provision for his family. And this morning, let me challenge you, men. We have a responsibility to make sure that the day that we die, if we die before our wives, before our children, we should ensure that we leave them with enough. It's our responsibility. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. You know, you go to a funeral and the husband has died and the wife is crying bitterly. She is wailing there on the floor, on the couch. Yes, she's crying that my husband has died. But she's also crying now, thinking about the mortgage. She's now thinking about the cars that need to be paid. She's thinking about the school fees because she knows there's nothing left in the account. I don't think that is righteousness. I want to challenge you as men. Let's make a plan to make sure that our wives, our children are taken care of on the day that we go. God forbid that we die early. It's not the desire of God for us to die too early, because he says, with a long life, I will satisfy you. You know the story that says, you know, we plan for the worst, we expect the best. So we're not going to live in this cocoon saying, oh, wow, we're going to die, we're going to live until 80. What happens if you go at 40? Is your life sorted so that your children can still go to school in your absence? Your children right now are going to a private school or a well-to-do school, and the day that you die, your wife will take them out of that school. God forbid. Okay, that was a bracket. Let's go back to our teaching. But for me, this story just caught my attention. That he was a God-fearing man, but there was debt. Now the people are saying, woman, we don't care that your husband was a God-fearing man. We want our money back. We want our mullah. We understand, we feel for you, but we also have children who need to be taken care of. That's what they will do. So they came to this woman and say, we're going to take your sons as slaves. They will work for that money that your husband hasn't paid us. So this woman went to the man of God. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? That's a profound question for me. When we are talking about stretching our limits, the question is, what do you have in the house? What do you have inside of you, which God has given you? What is that small talent or that raw talent that God has given you? That is the question this morning. What is it that God has given you? And Elisha asked a very important question. And I'm asking you the same question today. What do you have in your house? Do you have stuff in your garage that you haven't used in the past 2 years? And you're busy saying, I don't know what to give right now. But you have stuff in your garage that you haven't used in the past 2 years. Some of you ladies, you've got 16 pairs of shoes. 16 pairs of shoes. I don't know if we wear one pair a day, I don't know. But some of those shoes haven't been worn in the past 6 years. They are there gathering dust. What do you have in your house? That is the question this morning. What do you have in your house? Whatever you have, that is where your victory is going to come from. That is where your breakthrough will come from. That is where your capacity is going to be stretched. What do you have in your house? And listen to your answer. And many of us will give that kind of an answer. She said, your maid servant has nothing. And that's what we say. I have nothing. I have nothing. Your maid servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And that's all God is looking for. That small hope that you still have right now. That little bit of light that is left in your heart right now. That is what God is looking for. And he said, give me that small light. I'll put fire on it. I'll put more on it. And your faith will grow again. Glory be to God. Some of you are stuck in this dark place. And there's a small flicker of hope in the corner. And you say, it's not good enough. It's not going to help me to come out of where I am right now. But God is saying, I just want that little bit of oil. I want you to know something, that back in the days, they used to anoint bodies. After the body you have died, they would anoint the body with oil before they would wrap it up, embalming it and put it in the tomb. And some historians believe that that small oil that this woman was keeping was the oil that she was keeping for her death, so that her body would be anointed by it. Some of you are already checking out of life, and you're saying, I'm 60 years old right now. What more can I do with myself? One day, the Lord will ask you that question, and Abraham will be standing right next to you. And you say, I called Abraham at the age of 75. I took him out of his father's land. I gave him a promise. And out of Abraham, a great nation was raised. Abraham did not say, I'm too old. Does somebody hear me this morning? Abraham was sent out of Ur. He was sent out and he moved towards the promise of God. So whatever life is left inside of you, that is what God is saying, extend, expand it. I've called you as a mother to the nations. There are so many young women, young ladies who are looking for mothers today because they don't have their own mothers, but we do have mothers around us right now who are saying, I'm too old to disciple. I'm too old to spend time with these young girls. You'll be surprised. If you open your heart to a young lady, they will just suck you dry because they want that wisdom of old that you carry. Glory be to God. Am I talking to you today? She said, I have nothing. We need to change that talk. I have nothing except this little oil. I have nothing except this little savings in my account. I have nothing except this small job that I do. I help somebody that's in a house down the road. This is all that I have. But God is saying, I want to use you like a Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Glory be to God. When Joseph went into the house of Potiphar, the Bible says Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. In the house of Laban, Jacob stepped in there, and Laban was blessed because of Jacob. Do not underestimate where God has planted you, because he will bless that land, and through its blessing, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. She said, I have nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And then he said, go. In other words, the man of God said, that's all I need. That's all you need to save your children from the creditor. And I'm saying this morning, whatever you have, that's all you need for you to go to your next level with God. Whatever you are carrying, that's all you need for your promotion. Whatever you have, that's all you need to go into that place of passion again. Right now, some of you used to have dreams and passions, but you feel like you've gone down the road so long that you can't backtrack. As long as you still think about it, as long as you still wish that in your heart, Lord, I just wish I could have done that and that in my life, the Lord wants to use that small hope to propel you to the fullness of your calling. Glory be to God. The man of God said, that's all I need. Just give it to me. Give it into the hands of God. He will multiply it. You see, whatever we place in the hands of God, he will multiply. When Jesus was preaching to the 5,000 men, he said to his disciples, let's feed these people. And the disciples said, ooh, we need a year's wage for us to feed this multitude of people. And then says, what do you have? That question is being echoed right now. He's saying, my daughter, what do you have? My son, what do you have? And they say, there's only a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. Say, that's all I need. Bring it. The Bible says, and the Lord lifted the 5 loaves of bread and the fish. And says, Father, I thank you. And it multiplied. The 5,000 were fed. And out of that 12 baskets were collected. Can you see what God can do with what you have? I'm talking about stretching your capacity. Glory be to God. Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Talk about capacity. The man of God says, stretch your capacity, because that little oil that you have is enough to fill whatever you make available. Hallelujah. That little oil that you have is enough to fill whatever you make available. When we make ourselves available before God, He will fill us up. He will send us out. Glory be to God. Oh, I love this. It says, when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. There is a time that we need to shut the door and we do business with God. You got to shut the door at some point and say, my life will not be driven by my girlfriend, my fiance, my husband, my wife. It's me and God. Me and God, that's what I need right now for my capacity to grow. She shut the door and she did business with God. She did business with God. Shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels. And set aside the full ones. I can picture this woman with a small box of oil, pouring it. And she was like, what? You know what we say? I can't believe this. I can't believe it. She's busy pouring. This little thing here is not running out. Because the source is not this little thing. The source is what's behind this little thing. Glory be to God. The source is God Almighty. And He's using this little thing here where that's what we see in the physical, but in the spirit, there is a whole vessel of oil that God is releasing in our lives. And she was pouring out. And one by one, she would fill them up. Like, what? I can't believe this. Is this really happening? Andrew, can you see what's happening, my son? Filling in one bottle after the other. One bottle after the other. This is what God wants to do in our lives. When we stretch our capacity, we can never outrun what God has available for us. The miracles will be flowing. People will be healed. You'll be surprised that you'll just make a small prayer and somebody's life will change like that. Why? Because you have increased your capacity. You are tapping into the anointing of God and you see things happening with ease. You see things happening with ease. What used to be difficult, you see it's happening with ease. Where you could not forgive before, you're able to forgive. Why? Because in the inner place, in the secret place, you're expanding your capacity. Glory be to God. Oh, I just love God. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. Give me another capacity. And the son says, Mama, there's no more. Mama, the capacity is no more. We are failing to stretch anymore. And the Bible says, at that point, the oil ceased. We limit how much God can do in our lives. We limit the move of God in our church. Because we just not do a little sing-song here and we say, guys, time, we need to go. Where are we rushing to? We limit the move of God because we don't want to fast. When we do that, we close the anointing. Not because God does not want to anoint. Not because God does not want to use me to bring healing. But because I'm very cautious at work. I'm afraid to be rejected. What will they say to me if I say to her, do you mind if I pray for you? I remember extending prayer to somebody in my workplace. I said to him, this issue that you're experiencing, do you mind if I pray for you? And his answer was, you know what? It's okay. I am managing it. Don't worry about praying for me. The anointing was there. I believe the anointing was there, but it could not move because somebody's capacity was not big enough for it. Every child of God, you are able to walk out there. I believe in the priesthood of believers that if we are open to the working of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will start speaking to us through menial issues. You'll be able to look at a tree and you hear the Lord talking to you through that tree. You'll be able to sit under the shade of a tree. You'll be able to hear God speaking to you. He will say to you, I will cover you like the shadow of this tree. I cover you to the right, to the left, in front and behind. I surround you. Glory be to God. You'll be able to walk down the road. You see those flowers that are blooming. And you'll be able to hear the glory of the Lord, them praising the living God. Why? Because you're expanding your capacity. You're no longer wanting to live like an ordinary child of God. You're open to the voice of the living God. Does somebody hear me this morning? The oil ceased. Not because God wanted the oil to cease, but because there was no way to put the oil. Because God will not waste the anointing. God will not waste his resources. Whenever he invests in your life, he's expecting a return. That is why the Bible says on that day, we will all stand before the judgment throne of God, and he will ask us to give account of how we lived our lives. Paul says, I have laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Let anyone who build on top of this foundation be careful how they build, because our works shall be tested by fire on that day. Ooh. When God invests in you, he's going to expect a return. When God has raised you from your pain, he's going to expect a return. When God has woken you up in the morning and gave you a word, he's going to expect a return. So when there was no more vessel to pour the oil stopped. Has the anointing stopped? Because we are so busy with our lives. When God is calling for a holy convocation, when the Lord is saying, I want the church to come in prayer, we do not come. Does that stop the anointing of God over our lives? I've come to a place right now as I grow in the Lord that I'm not going to force anybody to do what they don't want. Because when somebody is forced to do what they don't want, the anointing will not flow. The capacity will not grow. There won't be any stretching at all. But when we say, Lord, I want you, help my unbelief, oh God, stretch my inside man, then God says, that is what I want. That little oil. I will come in. I'll pour myself to you. On Friday, we learned that when we pour ourselves unto God, he will pour himself into us. We will be God carriers. We'll be dispensers of his glory when we are open to God. Next week, we're going to talk about a very important area of our lives that we need to stretch. It's called faith. Where God is saying, I want you to stretch your faith. You used to believe in me radically. You used to believe like a child. You see, my son, Andrew, would be on top of a table and he'd say, Daddy, I'm about to jump. And he jumps. Do you know why he does that? He knows I'm not going to drop him. He's got so much faith that Daddy, because he said, Daddy, you are so strong. So he jumps and then I have to get him. That is the kind of faith that we started with. But something happened. Something happened. And the Lord is saying, stretch your faith, child of God. Next week we'll be talking about stretching our faith. Where we expand our belief system. Where we look at why is it that our faith is no longer functional. What are some of the faith busters that we have experienced in our lives? And because of that, we're no longer believing like children. That is why the Bible says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like children, you will not enter therein. Unless we are like Andrews who jump, when God says jump, we will not experience the miracle. We play it safe. We stay in the boat. But Peter says, Jesus, if it is you, if it is you, call me upon the waters and I will come. We need to go back to that place where if Jesus says come, we come. If Jesus says go, we go. If Jesus says stay, we stay. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, call me upon the waters. I don't think it was easy for Peter. But he stepped out in faith. And he's the only man who experienced walking on water. When we step out, when we stretch our faith, and we say, I will take you on your word, oh God. It doesn't make sense right now, but I choose to submit myself to the authority of the word. You'll be surprised by how much God has in store for you. Glory be to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, Father, we pray this morning. I want you to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, stretch me. Stretch me. Those perceived limitations. There's a stretching that the Lord is calling for right now. Stretch me, oh God. The anointing is available. The anointing is available. But the container must match the provision. The container must match the provision. Step out in the name of Jesus. Stretch out in the name of Jesus. Do something that you've never done before in the kingdom of God. Stretch out in the name of Jesus. Do something new that you've never done before. Believe God like you've never believed again. Oh, Father, we pray this morning. We need you, oh God. We pray for a stretching right now. We pray for a stretching this morning. We pray for a mighty move of God in our church, in our midst, oh God. Stretch us, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. And we give you praise this morning. Glory, power, and honor belongs to you, oh God. We need you this morning, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord bless you. May this word echo in your heart this week. May there be a stretching forth like never before. If you are blessed, let's clap our hands to Jesus.